परमहंस परिविजाकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन इसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिविजाकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नमाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधार श्रीवासति गौर भक्त वृंद की जय जय श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड की गोवर्धन धाम की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। नवदीप मायापुर धाम की जय। पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। गंगा माई जमुना माई की जय। तुलसी देवी भक्ति देवी की जय। बृहद मृदंगा की जय। देव जय सामयिक भक्तवृंद की जय। प्रसाद डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन की जय। बुक डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज असेंबल ड्यूटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज असेंबल ड्यूटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज शिशु गुरु गंगा ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। आई रियली रियली वॉन्ट टू थैंक यू ईच एंड एवरी वन ऑफ यू फॉर कमिंग हियर टूडे एंड दोज ऑनलाइन। इट मीन्स सो मच दैट यू आर गिविंग योर वैल्यूएबल टाइम। प्लीज़ गिव योर ब्लेसिंग्स सो we can all relish Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrit. Please sing with me. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudiraye Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhakti Bhakti Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Nashati Om Ajnana Tinirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Litam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavya Namaha. My humble obeisances to each and every one of you. Thank you. We are on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3rd, 9th chapter. Brahma's prayers for creation, I believe. Text number 12. Nati prasidati tatho pachito pacharera. Nati prasidati tatho pachito. Aradhita suraganer. Maybe we can just do two words. Aradhita suraganer. Rudhi baddha kame. Yat sarva bhuta dayayasada. Arvabhuta dayasada alabhya yaiko nana janeshva avita suhradantaratma nati prasidati tatho pachito pacharera nati prasidati text 12 ninth chapter. Like yesterday we did 11. Oh. Oh, okay. Did you see Diti's garlands today? How beautiful they look.
Yes.
Isn't it amazing? It's really amazing, beautiful darshan this morning. And all the classes have been so amazing. It's a privilege and honor to be part of this community. It really is. And so many guests coming here and so many Prabhupada disciples on the planet. Thank you so much. Are we on the right words? Okay. Nati prasidati tatho pachito pacharera. Aradhita suragane rudhibuddha kame. Yat sarva bhuta dayaya sada alabhya yaiko. Nana janeshva vita suradantaratma. Please, please, sir. Prasidati tatho pachito pacharer. Aradhita suraganer vidhi bandha kamai. Yat sarva bhuta dayaya sadalabhya yaiko. Nana janeshwa avahita suridam taratma. Nati prasidati tato pachito pachare. Aradita suragane buddhibaddha kame. Nati prasidati tato pachito pachare.
Aradita suraganair vidibaddha kamai.
Aradita suraganair vidibaddha kamai.
Sarva bhuta dayaya sadalabhya yaiko.
Sarva bhuta dayaya sadalabhya yaiko.
Nana janeshwa vahita suridantaratma.
Ti prasidati tato pachito pachare.
Aradita suragane rudibaddha kamai.
Aradita suragane rudibaddha kamai.
Yat sarva bhuta
dayaya sada alabhya yaiko. Nana janeshwa avahita surdantaratma. Anyone else?
Nati prasidati tato pachito
pacharai. Nati prasidati tato pachito pacharai.
Aradita suragunair vidibaddha kamai.
Aradita suragunair vidibaddha kamai. Bhuta daya sadala jaleko.
Nana janeshu avahita suridantaratma.
Synonyms and translation by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada teacher.
Na.
Na.
Never.
Ati.
Ati.
Very much.
Very much.
Prasidati.
Become satisfied.
Tatha.
As much as.
Upachita.
By pompous arrangement.
Upacharihi.
With much worshipable paraphernalia.
Arhadita.
Being worshipped.
Suragane.
By the celestial demigods.
Rudhi Baddha Kame.
With hearts full of all sorts of material desires.
Yat.
That which.
Sarva.
All.
Bhuta.
Living entities.
Dayaya.
To show them causeless mercy.
Asat,
non-devotee.
Alabhyaya,
not being achieved.
Ekaha,
one without a second.
Nana,
various.
Janeshu,
in living entities.
Avahitaha,
perceived.
Suhrit,
well-wishing friend.
Antaha,
within,
Atma,
Super soul.
My Lord,
You are not very much satisfied by the worship of the demigods, who arrange for your worship very pompously with various paraphernalia, but who are full of material hankerings. You are situated in everyone's heart as a super soul, just to show your causeless mercy. And you are the eternal well-wisher, but you are unavailable for the non-devotee. Would you like to say it? Read it? My Lord, please speak together. You are not very much satisfied by the worship of the demigods, who arrange for your worship very pompously, with various paraphernalia, but who are full of material hankerings. You are situated in everyone's heart as the super soul, just to show your causeless mercy. And you are the eternal well-wisher, but you are unavailable for the non-devotee. Purport. The demigods in the celestial heavenly planets, who are appointed administrators of the material affairs, are also devotees of the Lord. But at the same time, they have desires for material opulence and sense gratification. The Lord is so kind that He awards them all sorts of material happiness, more than they can desire. But He is not satisfied with them because they are not pure devotees. The Lord does not want any one of His innumerable sons, the living entities, to remain in the material world of threefold miseries, to perpetually suffer the material pangs of birth, death, old age, and disease. The demigods in the heavenly planets, and many devotees on this planet also, want to remain in the material world as devotees of the Lord and take advantage of the material happiness. They do so at a risk of falling down to the lower status of existence, and this makes the Lord dissatisfied with them. Pure devotees are not desirous of any material enjoyment, nor are they averse to it. They completely dovetail their desires with the desires of the Lord and perform nothing on their personal account. Arjuna is a good example. On his own sentiment, due to family affection, Arjuna did not want to fight. But finally, after hearing Srimad Bhagavad Gita, he agreed to fight in the interests of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord is very much satisfied with pure devotees because they do not act for sense gratification, but only in terms of the Lord's desire. As Paramatma or Super Soul, He is situated in everyone's heart, always giving everyone the chance of good counsel. Thus, everyone should take the opportunity and render transcendental loving service to Him, wholly and solely. The non-devotees, however, are neither like the demigods nor like the pure devotees, but are averse to the transcendental relationship with the Lord. They have revolted against the Lord and must perpetually undergo reactions of their own activities. Bhagavad Gita 4.11 states, Ye yatha mam prapadyante, tam sathaiva bhajamyaham. Although the Lord is equally kind to every living being, the living beings, for their own part, are able to please the Lord to either a greater or lesser extent. The demigods are called sakamba devotees, or devotees with material desires in mind, while the pure devotees are called nishkam devotees because they have no desire for their personal interests. The sakam devotees are self-interested because they do not think of others, and therefore they are not able to satisfy the Lord perfectly. Whereas the pure devotees take the missionary responsibility of turning non-devotees into devotees, and they are therefore able to satisfy the Lord more than the demigods. The Lord is unmindful of the non-devotees, although He is sitting within everyone's heart as well-wisher and super soul. However, He also gives them the chance to receive His mercy through His pure devotees who are engaged in missionary activities. Sometimes the Lord Himself descends for missionary activities, as He did in the form of Lord Chaitanya. But mostly He sends His bona fide representatives like Srila Prabhupada And thus he shows his causeless mercy towards the non-devotees. The Lord is so satisfied with his pure devotees that he wants to give them the credit for missionary success, although he could do the work personally. This is the sign of his satisfaction with his pure nishkam devotees compared to the sakam devotees. By such transcendental activities, the Lord simultaneously becomes free from the charge of partiality and exhibits his pleasure with the devotees. Now a question arises, if the Lord is sitting in the hearts of non-devotees, why are they not moved to become devotees? It may be answered that the stubborn non-devotees are like the barren land or alkaline field, where no agricultural activities can be successful. As part and parcel of the Lord, every individual living entity has a minute quantity of independence. And by misuse of this minute independence, the non-devotees commit offense after offense to both the Lord and his pure devotees engaged in missionary work. As a result of such acts, they become as barren as an alkaline field where there is no strength to produce. Hare Krishna. What a beautiful packed purport it is. There are so many amazing points. I will start with barren land, which is the last important aspect of this purport. It is that it's if you want to visualize, I was learning after completing my civil engineering in India. I was going to master's in environmental engineering at Syracuse University. And there I was part of the research assistant for a TUMS project. It's called TUMS project because Adirondack Forest in Northeast, which is a big, huge chunk, due to acid rain over 70 years, has become really barren land, basically. It's reduced, depleting in all the minerals. So many universities got millions of dollars to put calcium, and sometimes they used to spray with helicopters. This is millions of dollars, right? So this is if just a slight glimpse of what barren land can be. It was still not barren, it was still a forest, and still it is costing so much money, time, and energy to make it somewhat undepleted. So barren land is a big problem. Now, at the same time, I found recently another letter by Srila Prabhupada, written in 1973, I believe, from to the forest minister, or land and forest minister of UP. And he said, give me all your barren lands. Give me all your barren lands. I will convert them into fertile land. We will have cows, we'll have devotees, we'll establish temples. The same thing we have done in Mayapur. He said, the same thing we have done in Mayapur. Can you imagine the contrast between where the world is going and what Prabhupada's vision and dream, and not only that just dream, but reality is? So this is just to give a little idea of barren land can be and what pure devotee can do. Now, why does the heart become like barren land? And I want to go back to the beginning of the purport where it talks about demigods. So demigods, if we read from fifth canto, they are praying. They are praying on the Jambudvipa island. And they are praying, after performing this very difficult task, executing Vedic ritualistic sacrifices to the T, you know, undergoing austerities, observing vows, giving charity, and so on and so forth, we have achieved this position of being, you know, inhabitants of heavenly planets. But what is the value of this achievement? You know, we can hardly remember the lotus feet of Lord Narayana. Indeed, because of our excessive sense gratification, we have almost forgotten his lotus feet. And then they continue their prayers. A short life in the land of Bharat Varsha is preferable to a life achieved in Brahmaloka for millions and billions of years. Because even if one is elevated to Brahmaloka, he must return to repeated birth and death. And so although life in Bharatvarsha is in a lower planetary system is very short, one who lives there can elevate himself to full Krishna consciousness and achieve the highest perfection even in this short life by fully surrendering unto the lotus feet of the Lord. So I'm not sure who, probably some of you may have prayed like this in the past life as a demigods and therefore come to Earth planet as a devotee, so you know, who knows. But this is what demigods are not happy. They have apsaras, they have palaces, they have wine, they have everything they want. But still, Prabhupada writes, there's a struggle for existence. The demons attack and the material enjoyment is like a flickering, you know, it's a you know, like a water, you know, teeter-totter water drops on the lotus leaf. So this is what demigods are hankering to come to the earthly planet. We have all come to this earthly planet, and all of us have had association of pure devotee, Prabhupada or Prabhupada's association through his books. Because he said, I will live in my books for 10,000 years. So we have all have had that. And so I was thinking, but still there are offenses. Somebody else was saying other day, devotees, some devotees, may be spending time on social media, you know, I'm one of them. And it's not a good association, or it's not we are trying to be pure devotees, and which is the comes in the purport. Is we try to remain, want to remain in the material world to enjoy material senses. So why does that happen? Why do we, there's a famous song, part-time lovers. How come we are part-time lovers of Krishna? You know, how come we don't get absorbed completely? There is another friend of mine, couple, and they used to say, we are Sunday Paramhansas. They work so hard. No, I mean, they give a lot of money to Krishna. But then they can only come to Sunday feast and Sunday morning program, and how come we are Sunday Paramhansas? And then other joke on the Kuli Mela, some Kuli wrote, I follow 2.5 regulative principles, you know. It's funny, and it could be a very genuine thing, you know, that's what they can do, that's what they do, they are doing their best, and all glories to them. But, you know, how come we don't try to go from that devotee to, in the last text, Prabhupada, purport, 11th text, purport Prabhupada says, you cannot remain non-devotee or casual devotee. So how come our relationship is casual? And in the purport also, Prabhupada talks about offenses. And he talks about the mercy of devotee to make pure devotees, as he says. Now we see kids here, playing here, and they're still completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. You know, seeing deities, coming to the temple, is so great. So this is a Dhruva Maharaj, which brings to the example of Dhruva Maharaj. So when he went to Krishna for Vitsakama, with some desire, and then when he came to Krishna, he said, or Narayan appeared to him, he said, I was so foolish. I prayed, came to you with some desire, material desire, and now I realize that that's not what I needed, that's not what I wanted. Does anybody remember that famous verse? Swamin Kritartha? Yeah, okay. So, that's, so how does that change of heart happens? And again, reflecting on offenses, you know, the Prabhupada says their word, offenses or criticism. Criticism is, we can only find criticism or find faults when they exist within us. You know, there's a story about two neighbors. The elder man doesn't have a very good sight, and he keeps on complaining, oh my God, neighbor's balcony is so unclean. How can they live like that? Neighbor's balcony is so unclean. Until his wife cleans his window. And then he goes, wow. But it's the flaw exists within us. The criticism usually only comes out when the fault lies within us. Radhana Swami says, if we are trying to criticize somebody, then fault may be there. The fault may be there. But the fault within us of criticizing that person is millions of times worse than the actual fault. So this criticism, and sometimes it's so subtle. There are a lot of gossip magazines. It's a big industry, just the magazines, and there are websites and Facebooks and so on. Just one magazine within this huge industry has $400 million revenue. People love to gossip. I mean, it's so relishable. It's like nectar, ambrosial nectar for... And I was there, so at one point in my life. So what happens is, I was reading the person revealing the secrets behind this life, and they say, actually, we don't say anything bad. If some person is rich, their kids have everything, we just show their perfect life. But the people, they start speculating, and they start envying what they don't have. And they start criticizing, and then they start buying more papers. It's because that's the thought that lingers. That's the thought that lingers. And if somebody has a ring on the finger, some actress has a new ring on the finger, they start following, there's a paparazzi, and you know, there's something new needed. New thing to see, new happiness to see, but then the criticism is there, the speculation is there, what's happening, what's not. And this is so natural. Another story that Amrendra Prabhu and Adi Gadadhar Prabhu say is a very interesting story from Mahabharata, I believe. There's a lady, there are some Brahmins who come to the king's palace, come to the king's palace, and they ask her direction. And she says, go this way. So Brahmins go there, they are hungry, they came to king for charity of prasadam because they are on pilgrimage. So king says, yes, cook very excellent feast, like always. All the cooks are preparing a wonderful prasadam. You know, the aroma is nice, the prasadam seems delicious. And unknowingly, without anybody knowing, there is eagle flying in the sky with the snake. And few drops of the poison get dropped into the pot. The snake doesn't drop, nobody sees it, but just few drops. And all the Brahmins, they serve the feast with love and devotion. Unfortunately, they pass away. Now, Yamaraj and Chitragupta are in their office. And Chitragupta says, who should incur the sin of killing these Brahmanas? Should it be the king, whose authority everything happened? Should it be the cook, because cook should have paid more attention? Should it be that eagle, she flew? Or should it be that snake, who is poisonous? You know, snakes are not poisonous just like that. They have enemy from past life. So there was some reason to justify everyone. The king should have been more careful. The cook should have been more careful. Somebody, you know, things like that. So Yamaraj says, hold on. So then, a year passes. And the old lady, same old lady, another set of Brahmins are passing through and ask for direction. And they say, we are hungry, shall we? Tell us the way to the king's palace. I heard he is charitable. So she goes, oh, are you hungry? And they go, yes, we are hungry. So she goes, I hope you don't die like the previous Brahmanas, you know, that came a year ago. And Yamaraj says, give her the sin. Give her the sin. I don't know what fraction or what. But... this why? Because of the criticism. So the criticism is so important to avoid the criticism. And I was thinking why, you know, what can be the steps taken. And you can go on Facebook to see something devotional activity, but you may come across some criticism. And the scriptures are very strong that if you hear criticism, there are so many most difficult things you are supposed to do, right? You are supposed to drown yourself, if I'm not wrong, somewhere written. Maharaj, do you know? It's very strongly written against taking steps. If you hear the criticism, to purify yourself. It's so... So I was thinking, how can we avoid criticism? Bhakti Tirtha Swami's teachings, whose disappearance day is coming very soon, in 3 days, he says, Treat everyone you encounter as if success or failure of your spiritual life depends on the quality of your interactions with them. So if we do that, if every moment, every minute, we meet a devotee and we interact with them, with praising them, learning from them, and really feeling that my spiritual life success depends on that interaction, then I think we will do less, at least I will do less criticism. View all conflicts as your own faults first. His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj, he was such a strong guru, so busy. But if he ever saw two devotees having slight conflict, he would pour so much love and mercy on them and spend time together so that they would forget and they would stop criticizing each other. He was the busiest person on the planet, but he would do this for their disciples. I saw it many times. Kiras Swami, you know, I always feel, how come he is so non-envious, so caring, loving, and so non-envious? And we got lucky to host, me and my parents got lucky to host him near that their extra house, my parents' extra house in Pune, 8 days. And I saw his every minute. He lives to give credit to Srila Prabhupada. Everything he does, he gives credit to pure devotee. And that's why he never criticizes anybody. I felt that was a success. I asked him, can I take a picture with his book, him book, signing the book. Immediately he grabbed his bead bag out of his thing, and he had Prabhupada there. And he put Prabhupada first, he offered pranams, and then he allowed to take a picture. Because he's not doing it for himself. He did it because Prabhupada ordered him to. So I felt very inspired by this kind of quality, so that I myself won't criticize. I mean, we come to Krishna, we ask for something. We can come to Krishna like Arjuna, you know, please use me as your instrument. Or we can come to him like Duryodhana, you know, thinking that I am the best there is. And Krishna, give me your Narayan Seva, you're not going to fight, so just give me all your opulences, you know. So please, Krishna, I want this, I want that. And you know, actually, yeah, that's also okay as far as you're coming to Krishna, because pure devotee like Prabhupada has power to convert all our desires, our ill material desires, into purity. And this is also written in the purport, when Indra and Prithu were fighting, Prabhupada writes in this purport, okay? Please hear carefully, this is the last, and then I would like to take any reflection you have and maybe one more point. Both King Indra and Maharaj Prithu were envious and angry with each other. But since both of them were Vaishnavas, or servants of the Lord, Vishnu, it was their duty to adjust the cause of their envy. This is also a first-class example of cooperative behavior between Vaishnavas. In the present days, however, because people are not Vaishnavas, they fight perpetually among one another and are vanquished without finishing the mission of human life. There's a great need to propagate the Krishna consciousness movement in the world, so that even though people sometimes become angry and malicious toward one another, because of their being Krishna conscious, such rivalry, competition, and envy can be adjusted without difficulty. Hare Krishna. So just one more time, the Sankirtan movement, once you become part of Sankirtan movement, once you become Krishna conscious, the rivalry, the competition and envy, which all starts from criticism in mind or words or actions, can be adjusted without difficulty. I would like to take any reflections, and then I just want to add one last point at the end. If you have any comments or any thoughts. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I missed maybe about 20% of your language. That's my own dull-headedness, my own old age disability. But one thing that's stuck in my mind is that Prabhupada, I mean, other purports also, he uses the term missionary.
Yes.
That we should engage in missionary activities. And I know when I finally joined the temple in July of 1975, before I knew what was happening, I had to identify myself in the parking lots as a missionary student. Hmm. That seemed like a way of connecting with people. And I had an aversion to it because I associated with maybe overzealous Christian preachers or something like that. But I guess we are, in a sense, missionary students. And sometimes, because I'm not what you call a frontline preacher, although I go on Harinam on Fridays and I invite everybody else, Karnapur always comes, and Nagaraj comes, and this devotee here, Gauranga, he always comes. I'm not very proactive, and so I don't feel like much of a missionary, especially these days. But is it that the Krishna conscious movement, I don't want to sound condescending to any other religions, that's not allowed, it's officially not allowed, I read it. But are we perfecting or purifying this idea of, missionary spirit? Sometimes people criticize criticize the evangelical Christians that they're over, they're pushing too much, and they, mm-hmm. And there, there are other examples like that. So, maybe you could say something about how we can take this idea of being missionaries, and without any taint of, the kind of faults that we may see in different missionaries, although we respect their sincerity, but still. Just to finish my question, can you be a real missionary when your mission is undermined by wrong doctrine?
Such a deep question.
Like, for instance, the animals don't have souls or something like that. Can I really be a missionary if I'm not giving, it's supposed to be satyam priya hitam, we're supposed to speak truthfully, beneficially, and avoid speech that offends. Yeah. But can I be a missionary if I'm not really fulfilling, say, the truthful a requirement that what we're speaking is truth? Again, this is not to criticize, but
I see a lot.
You may have some feedback.
Sure, there are a lot of qualified speakers to answer better. So I'm going to take a first try to answer your very deep question. Thank you so much for that. Can we be missionary without being pushy, or other sects can be pushy? Right, that's your question. Can they be truly called missionaries if they're preaching wrong doctrines?
In other words, is the term still applied for preaching to a Krishna consciousness? Or is it Prabhupada uses the term.
Yes.
Does it really fit, like a missionary and what we're trying to do?
Pushy. Is that what? Okay. So I will tell you from my experience of listening from Radhika Raman Prabhu about how different religions can be viewed. If I will just try to share my realization on this little bit on this topic, and then I would appreciate anybody else wanting to try to answer such a deep question. So Radhika Raman Prabhu in his class said, sometimes a new person could say Jesus is the only way, or his way is the only way. And that's okay,
Because these things are done to protect that devotee at the level of his devotional understanding. Because, you know, you can't give first grader complete knowledge of Bhagavatam, most likely. So their understanding and their methods are in that fashion. They are tailored in that fashion, dovetailed in that fashion. But slowly, after rejections or whatever reactions that person gets, slowly their faith develops. And they come to a maturity level. And when they come to maturity level, he says about having his dialogues with the great religious professors. And he says, you don't start looking at the differences in philosophy, or even we can say inadequacies of their philosophies, or shortcomings of their philosophies. What is God doing right now? They don't know, or, you know. We don't look at that, but we look at the commonalities, and we really relish the commonalities. So he said, okay, so they say that Adam and Eve were there 5,000 years ago and they started this world, and none of the geological reference shows that, and there was a snake and he spoke like, so it seems like a fable, right? But we don't look at that. We say, oh, God is so great. Even that could have been possible. Maybe those are 5,000 years of demigods, you know? Or Adam and Eve could have been the Prithu and Archie. So we can just look at the commonalities and appreciate. And we can also honestly encourage them to appreciate Jesus. In fact, on Daytona Beach Rath Yatra or another Clearwater Beach Rath Yatra, a guy came to me and he had his Bible and he's like, "You believe in Jesus?" And I said, "Yes, sir." I mean, this is standard answer. Anybody would have said the same thing. "Yes, sir, we really believe in Jesus. And Jesus said he's the Son of the God. This Lord Jagannath is God. And he loves to go out and gives blessings. And, and few other things that we, all of us know what those lines are. And we love God, and this is a festival of joy. And this is a festival of love and, to bring the humanity together. And this food has also been offered to Jesus Christ." I mean, you know, so this is sanctified food, just like, you know, offered to God and Son of God. I mean, if you offer to God, Son of God is obviously going to take it. Yat tushte, jagat tushte, you know, if Krishna is satisfied, then all his children are satisfied, including Jesus Christ. And he looked at the Rath nonstop for 15 minutes. He was mesmerized, he raised his hands, he was taking photos, he was taking pictures. So that's what I want to say. That's my limited understanding, and I don't know if that answers your questions, but I open the floor to...
I'll take less than a minute now, because I don't want to over-contribute. But I appreciate what you're saying. We try to look at the commonality, but it's, for me anyway, it's difficult to overlook really fundamental mistakes. Like if they say the animal has no soul, and that's like a justification for animal slaughter and cruelty to animals. It's kind of like you can overlook it, but when there's a fundamental misunderstanding, it's almost like the elephant in the room, as we say.
Yeah.
It just kind of, it's hard. For me personally, it's hard to kind of work around when the error is so fundamental and has so many implications in terms of ethics, etc.
But Maharaj, you thinking about them is a big plus in their spiritual life. You thinking about them, you meditating on them, they're going to make advancement. This is what I feel. Sunanda Prabhu, thank you for coming. Hare Krishna. We work together for TOEP team. You have any last comments before you leave? I know you have a busy day today.
The idea of preaching missionary work, missionary spirit, is what Prabhupada induced in all of us during his presence, distributing his books, teaching Krishna consciousness in colleges, and generally we didn't compromise. We presented things as they are. Prabhupada himself spoke with scientists and other religious leaders, never compromised. Not that people became his, and he was able to speak in a way that people appreciated what he was saying. It's not like they felt he was finding fault, but he had the correct arguments, he had the correct explanations, the logic, the scripture, and I don't put it this way, he was able to defeat people and keep them happy somehow or other. So we have to learn that same art of missionary work without offending people,
mm-hmm.
or making, we're not saying we're better than you, and but we also do say that this is the highest religious spiritual practice for various reasons, and we can explain those reasons. So I don't think we should hide our philosophy or hide our philosophy, our teachings in the name of being, of integrating, so to speak, with society. We still have to present what we say.
Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu. And I want to.
Well, there's also the good cop, bad cop strategy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, what's wrong with engaging pushiness? You know,
yes.
Sometimes you got to push, but sometimes you got to back off. You know, there's the carrot and the stick kind of thing. You know?
Yes.
So, you know, with Prabhupada, he's expert at time and place. I mean, maybe we sometimes trip over ourselves a little bit in the learning process, but sometimes you just learn by doing.
Yes.
You know, so I don't think you have to be too afraid of all this, but you got to keep your eyes open and, you know, make adjustments.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
The Bhaktivedanta Institute, we just visited there the other day, and we were speaking with Hridayananda Maharaj and
Brahmatirtha.
And Prabhupada, Sariputta once gave a lecture, and he said that he did a, on the database, he did a little search for how many times Prabhupada called scientists rascals. There's hundreds and thousands of times.
Well,
but
maybe hundreds.
Okay, hundreds. I think it has to be both. Sometimes you have to take both approaches,
yes,
you know.
Often the context is when atheism is being preached in the name of science.
Yeah.
That's the real issue. And Prabhupada said that point blank in one of the conversations
that eventually made it into the Life Comes From Life book. But that part of the conversation itself didn't make it in there. But it's in the transcript that's offered on the database and Wikipedia. I mean, he just point blank says, when they preach atheism shamelessly, we could even make offenses to push back on them.
Yes.
But otherwise, you give them all credit. What the heck? You know?
Yeah, you're right.
You so-called discovered something that was already there that's an aspect of Krishna's unlimited energies. Good for you. But if they're preaching atheism, no quarter for that.
Yeah.
You know, and then right now that there's a respected position for the scientists, and the atheists have taken advantage of that. To preach atheism in the name of these disciplines.
Very well. Thank you. Ekadashi, Prabhu? Yeah, the Prabhupada says somewhere, if you don't criticize Mayavadis, you know, shame on you. Something of that sort. Meaning, yes, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for the nice class. I wanted to say two things. One, both about preaching. Missionary work. So I wanted to acknowledge Sri Gaurangi because she's here with her sons. And that's a type of missionary work also.
Yes.
Because she's training her children in Krishna consciousness. So that's one thing. But and then at the same time, we do need to preach to or do the missionary work of trying, because that's what Prabhupada says here, making the non-devotees into devotees.
Absolutely.
So and I think though a lot of, maybe many devotees don't feel like they know enough
like
to be able to do that.
Yeah.
You know, now like people are just so busy. It's difficult. So yeah. I just wonder if maybe there needs to also be like more education for devotees so that we feel more comfortable in understanding what it is we're doing and being able to explain that to others.
And that's why we need more gurus. Gopakrishna Maharaj said that we need more gurus, and a person like you should take the step up to teach, you know. It takes one to know one. Ekadashi Vrata Prabhu. Okay, so just one small thing. I have learned so much from all of you and now how not to criticize and live our life purely. And I especially also want to thank Mahavishnu Priya Prabhu. She's like my spiritual mother. I've never seen her criticize. Such a soft voice. And just a few days ago, it was her birthday, so I want to wish her a happy birthday. And another thing in scriptures, Jagai and Madhai did big offense. Jagai and Madhai did very big offense of trying to hurt, they hurt Nityananda Prabhu. And later on, they said, take these stones and throw on us. You know, they would go to devotees, if we have committed any offenses, please do that. If I have committed any offense to any of you, anybody online, please, the same thing. Please let me know, and I really, really sincerely apologize to you. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu vyayavacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.